Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. I hope this week's message is meaningful and inspiring to you. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBurrah. I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays in the Sanctuary and the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life.
As I said a moment ago, I had the great, great privilege of being able to, in a small way, represent this congregation on this wonderful mission trip to Guatemala with two of your fellow members, Dr. Andy Brown and Ted Millsap. Let me just say, in case you don't already know, those two guys, they're workers. They represented you incredibly well on this trip. We gathered there with representatives also from the church I served in Clarksville, Madison Street, as well as members from First United Methodist in Tullahoma, and also a representative from First United Methodist in Dixon. It was a great trip, guys. I'm going to tell you, maybe the best that I've been. This is my seventh. Maybe the best that I've been on. You've heard me talk about Dr. Sergio and Veronica. Dr. Sergio gave up a great medical practice in Guatemala City to go to a little community called Chocolá outside of Mazatenango. It's just a little village. With nothing. Everybody's poor. Everybody there is poor. And the surrounding area, the surrounding little villages and communities, there's no one to treat them, no one to be their doctor, no one where they could go and get care until Dr. Sergio, over 20 years ago, went to that area, giving up everything that he had to go into that area. You guys have contributed to that ministry, and because of that, we've been able to do a lot for Dr. Sergio. We're finishing a clinic in San Antonio that is outside of Chocolá, where he can go and serve other folks. We're also building for him a place where these folks can stay when they come. You've heard me talk a little bit about how they come out of the jungle to come in from these different smaller communities. Most of them are Mayans. I've shared with you before, Mayans are untouchable. There's the understanding among a lot of folks that if you touch the Mayans, you are then unclean. Dr. Sergio has had folks from the medical community disown him and desert him because he has been willing to touch these wonderful, wonderful people. But when they come, they have no place to stay. They bring their family, and when a family member is having surgery, they have no place to stay. They just sleep out on the grass. It's as primitive as you can imagine. And because of contributions from this congregation, we're building them a place, five rooms where they can house about eight folks per room. Very, very simple. It should be completed hopefully in September, certainly by this time next year. But it was just a privilege to be able to work on that. So what I want to do is I want to talk about that a little bit this morning in the sermon, but I don't want you to hear it just from this perspective of Guatemala. I don't want you to hear it that way. my experience is Guatemala, but I want you to hear this from your own perspective, from your own place of life, wherever it is that God is sending you. We have a great passage of Scripture this morning. It's one that's very familiar to a lot of us. It's from the 14th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. It's one that I've used before. In fact, this was the passage that we used, when we handed out the money for the Living a Better Story. It's one of my favorites. Here's proof. It just falls out of my Bible. There it is right there. I'm beginning with the 13th verse this morning. Hear this, God's word for us today. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a lonely place apart. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. As he went ashore, he saw a great throng, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a lonely place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Send them away. Jesus, send them away. Let them take care of themselves. Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "But we have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish." And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thank you, and you may be seated. Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? And now, God, either through me or in spite of me, you speak to these your people. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Over the past couple of weeks, while I've been gone, there have been two questions that I've been pondering. I just haven't been able to get them out of my head. The first one is, how you get where it is that you are in life. Have you guys ever wondered, how did I get here? Has there ever been a time for you that you looked at your life, whatever was going on in your life at that time, and you started to wonder, how in the world, how did I get here? How did this happen that I'm in this place at this time, whatever that place and that time it happens to be? Folks struggle with that question, and sometimes the way folks answer that question, on the one hand, is kind of a school of thought over here, and folks who believe that everything that happens is directed by God. How did I get here? Well, you got here because everything is orchestrated, everything is directed and guided by God. God orchestrates, directs, plans everything that has happened in life, and that's how you got where it is that you are in life. That's one school of thought. I don't agree with that. Maybe you do, and that's okay. But I don't. I don't believe in that school of thought that everything in life is directed, orchestrated, by God. I think there are things that happen in life, in fact, that are the exact opposite of what God would direct and guide. And the reason for that is God gives us the freedom to choose. He gives us free will. We're Methodists. We're Wesleyan people. That's one of our core beliefs. We believe that God has created us with a mind and the freedom of will, the freedom to be able to choose. That's the other school of thought. The other school of thought is we get where we are in life because we've been able to choose. We choose, we make our choices, and that's what's gotten us where we are in life. We choose. We make all the choices of life. But I don't agree with that either. And some of you are saying, well, look, Cliff, you got to pick one or the other. Well, no, I don't. I think it's somewhere in the middle, see? I don't think we choose. I think sometimes we deceive ourselves, and I've done that, deceive ourselves into thinking, oh, we make all of the choices of life. There are some folks who believe that God created us, and when God created us and gave us life, then God just stepped back. He just stepped back and got out of the picture, and he said, okay, it's up to you, all the choices, every decision, it's all up to you. But I don't believe that. Now, I believe in choice. I believe in the freedom of will and to make our own choices in life. But I think that there are times when we are led to places. Are you with me? So we have the choice, but there are times, and it's a mystery, and I don't know how to explain it, but there are times, and I'll bet you felt this at times in your life. There are times when you looked up and you said, I don't know how I got there, but it wasn't anything that I chose. I was led there. I was guided to that place in life. The second question that I've been wrestling with this past week is then the whole issue of feeling inadequate. Have you ever felt inadequate? You ever felt like you just weren't up to the challenge? You ever felt like you just want to go, what in the world? This is the question. What in the world do I have to offer to this challenge, to this particular situation? And so oftentimes, I think a whole lot of us feel this way. We feel as if, you know, we just don't have enough to meet the needs, to meet the challenges. And sometimes if you're not careful, you can give up. I've done that. I bet you have too. When you look at the challenges around us are so enormous that you think, look, what difference does it make what I do? Look, I've just got 5 loaves and 2 fish. What difference can I make? And here's the thing. Those two questions are questions I want us to look at this morning. And I believe our scripture lesson, this is one of the reasons why I love it so much. I believe our scripture lesson this morning deals with both of those issues. You remember our story this morning. I've preached from this passage a number of times. And one of the things I've realized over the years in preaching from this passage, and I realized it these past 2 weeks as I've been reflecting. I'm going to tell you, I wrote a sermon for this Sunday before I left because I knew I was going to be getting back on Friday night and there wouldn't be time enough to write a sermon for this morning if I didn't write it before I left. But while I was gone, I couldn't get this passage out of my mind. I just couldn't get it. It was just stronger and stronger with each passing day, and I knew I was going to have to preach on this passage. But the thing that I saw and noticed in our passage this week that I hadn't noticed before are those disciples and how before when I preached it, I came down pretty hard on those disciples. Came down pretty hard on them. You know, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, hey, can't you do something with all these people? They're hungry. Can't you send them away? Can't you do something about this? I mean, tell them to go get a job for crying out loud. You ever felt that way? Hey, just get a job. You know, go feed yourself. Go take care of yourself. And I've come down hard on those disciples. Because as I read the story, it seemed to me that that's what the disciples were doing. But this week, these past 2 weeks, while I was in Guatemala, I saw those disciples in a different light. I'm not certain that that's what they were doing at all. They went to Jesus and they said, look, can't you do something? And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. You remember? Can't you do something, Jesus? Send them home so that they can get some food. And Jesus said, no, you give them something to eat. And do you remember from our story this morning, the very next thing the disciples said, Jesus said, you feed them. You take care of them. You meet their needs. You give them something to eat. The very next thing that those disciples said was what? We don't have enough. We've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I realized at that moment I'm not certain that those disciples didn't care. In fact, I think they cared greatly. At that moment, I realized that the issue with the disciples was not that they didn't care, but they felt they were inadequate. They felt that what they had to offer just simply, well, it just wasn't enough. Five loaves and two fish. There's 5,000 men out here, and that's not counting the women and children. And we've got five loaves and two fish, and you're telling us to feed them. Listen, I come from a science background. I come from a pre-med background in college. You know what I know? I don't know very much, but you know what I know? I know the same thing you know. You know what that is? Five loaves and two fish isn't enough, right? I mean, come on. Five loaves and two fish. Five loaves and two fish, that's not enough. That's where those disciples were. We got five loaves and two fish. There's 5,000 men out here, not counting the women and children. Listen, we'll be lucky if we feed three or four of them. And then we got about 9,996 of them that are upset with us, okay? And we don't want to be in that boat because we don't have enough. Not that they didn't care. We just don't have enough. You remember what Jesus said? This is really fascinating to me. Jesus didn't say, take your five loaves and two fish and start feeding those people. He didn't see that. He didn't say that. Do you remember what he said? What was the first thing he said? He said, give it to me. Give me what you think isn't enough, what you think is inadequate, what you think can't meet their needs. You give that to me, and let's see what will happen. And Jesus blessed it, and he gave it back to the disciples, and they fed those people. You remember what the story said? They fed them, and when they finished, what did they do? They took up what was left over, and they filled up 12 baskets full of what was left. What was left over. Man, I'm going to tell you, this story really spoke to me over the past 2 weeks. You ever felt like what you had to offer wasn't enough? You ever felt that way? You ever wondered how you got where it is that you are? You ever wondered what it was that led you to a certain place? To a certain place. We were in Guatemala, and there was a day when our leader, Donnie Mitchell, asked to have a meeting. And he asked me to be present at that meeting with a guy named George, who was from the church in First Methodist in Tullahoma, to meet with Dr. Sergio and Veronica to just talk business with them. Here's the deal. It's very difficult for them to wrap their heads around how much they have now and what they can do. It's just so difficult because they've done with nothing for so long. And now here are these people that have come into their midst to help them fulfill their dream, as they said. And so we met with them and we were trying to tell them, you know, look, we have the money now to be able to provide this and to build this and to do this for you. And we met for about 45 minutes or so, and getting all of our business questions so that all the money and everything is accounted for and everything is done appropriately. And when we finished, Donnie said, Cliff, would you close us in prayer? And I said, I've got one more question before I pray. And I turned to our interpreter, his name is Archie, and I said, Archie, I want you to ask them what this means to them. I want you to ask them, how does this make you feel? And I looked at them and I said, what does this mean to you? How does this make you feel? And Archie interpreted and asked them. And I'm going to tell you, I'll never, never, as long as I live, forget the look in their faces when Veronica turned to her husband, Dr. Sergio, and Dr. Sergio turned to his wife, Veronica. And then Veronica looked me straight in the eyes. And this is what she said. She said, this is what it means. We prayed for 20 years. We prayed for 20 years. We felt no one would ever come. We didn't think anyone would ever come, but we kept praying, and we prayed for 20 years. Have you ever prayed for something for 20 years? I don't know what that's like. I have no idea what that's like. Gee whiz, if I pray for something for a couple of days, if it hadn't happened, I move on to something else. Can you relate to that? 20 years? They prayed for 20 years. But they didn't give up. They persisted in their prayer, and they prayed, and they prayed every day for 20 years. But they said, we didn't think anyone would ever come. We prayed for 20 years. And she looked at me and she said, we didn't pray for anything like this. We didn't pray for anything this big, but we prayed for 20 years. We didn't think anyone would ever come. And then she looked at me, and there were tears rolling down her face. And she looked right at me, and this is what she said. And then God sent you. We prayed for 20 years, she said. We didn't think anyone would ever come. And then God sent you. God sent who? This guy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, if he's got that. And I'm going to tell you, listen to me, I'm going to tell you, if there was ever a fish out of water on a mission trip in Guatemala, you're looking at him. You're looking at him. Okay? I've got like 2 tools in my garage. They're both really clean. When something breaks in my house, I just Google somebody to fix it. That's who I am. My world is books. My world is academics. My world is study. That's my world. That's the world I live in. If you'd told me 15 years ago that I was going to be going to Guatemala for 7 years in a row, I'd told you you lost your mind. We prayed for 20 years. We prayed for 20 years. We didn't believe anybody would ever come. God sent you. God sent you. That's who God sent. God sent you. It changed their world. The last day we were there, I went searching for Dr. Sergio and Veronica to tell them goodbye. I found Dr. Sergio first. I went up to him. I said, we're leaving. We're getting on the bus. We're leaving. I just wanted to say goodbye. But before I say goodbye, I wanted to make sure that to thank you once again, to thank you for what you're doing for these wonderful people and the sacrifice that you've made. He stopped me. He stopped me mid-sentence. He took me by the shoulders and he looked me in the eye. He said, no. Thank you. You've changed our world. Thank you. Go back to your church and thank them. They've changed my world. They've changed my world. And he said, and you are not leaving. I said, oh, yes, I am. I'm getting on that bus, and I'm leaving. I'm going back home. I didn't understand what he was talking about. He said, no, you're not leaving. He said, you're not leaving. You will never leave. You will never leave. And he did this. He pointed at his heart, and he said, you live. You live in my heart. You live in my heart. You ever wondered how you got somewhere in life? You ever wondered? How in the world did I get to Guatemala? I'm the last person that you would ever think of that would be on a mission trip there. The last person. We prayed for 20 years. We didn't think anybody would ever come. But God sent you. Listen, guys. You may think you choose everything in your life, but you don't. And neither do I. There are times that the living God gets in us and God guides us and God directs us and God sends us. And sometimes He will send you to the last place you ever dreamed. And there are times when you think, I don't have enough. And there are times when you think, I can't make any difference. And there are times when you want to give up because you can't make any difference because the challenges are so incredibly enormous. I have 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish is changing a whole world in that portion of Guatemala today. And a big part of that is because God sent you. Are you with me? God sent you. Here's my question for you this morning. Where's God sending you? Where's God sending you today? Where's God sending you? Listen to me. God didn't send everybody to Guatemala. Where's God sending you? Because God's sending you somewhere. Where's God sending you? Maybe it's to the next door neighbor. Maybe it's to a person sitting in the sanctuary this morning. Maybe God is sending you to a family member, but God's sending you, and you felt it. Maybe you felt it for a long time. You've tried to push it aside, but you know deep down in your heart of hearts that God is sending you. Maybe God is sending you to Journey Home. Maybe God is sending you to Doors of Hope. Maybe God is sending you across town. But God is sending you somewhere because, rest assured, God does not want us sitting in our pews and remaining there. That's not what church is all about. There are two essential ingredients for there to be church. You know what those essential ingredients are? One is Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, we are called, you and I, to be like Jesus, not to cheerlead Jesus, but to be like Jesus. That's the first ingredient for a church. The second ingredient is human need. Jesus Christ and human need. Those human needs come in all forms. Rich and poor both have human needs. The low and the lowly, the high and the mighty, they both have human needs. The haves have human needs, the have-nots have human needs. And the church is right there in the middle, empowered by Jesus Christ as we strive to be like Him, to go and meet those needs. Where is it that God is sending you? Because God is sending you somewhere with your five loaves and two fish. And when we offer them to Him, He makes them enough. One last story and I'll be through this morning. Dr. Fred Craddock, for years, taught preaching a New Testament at Counter School of Theology at Emory University. While he was there, he was asked to give a lecture at Clemson University in South Carolina. Prior to his lecture one night, a young lady in her early 20s, perhaps a student there at Clemson, was going to give a devotion before his lecture. She stood up to give her devotion, and she started speaking. Her voice was soft and it was low. You had to lean in to be able to hear what it was she was saying. And she started speaking, and the first sentence out of her mouth was in a foreign language, and the next sentence out of her mouth was in a different foreign language. And the next sentence out of her mouth was in still another different language. And she kept doing that over and over and over. And it became very clear to Dr. Craddock that what she was doing is she was saying one sentence, but she was saying it in all the major languages of the world. One sentence over and over and over. And he said it had to be somewhere between 60 and 70 different languages that she said this one sentence. He didn't know what she was saying. When she got to German, he had a little bit of German. He thought he knew what she was saying, maybe an idea. When she got to French, he had more French. He became a little more clear about what it was that she was saying. She just kept saying it over and over, one sentence. That was her devotion. He didn't know exactly what she was saying until her last sentence, her last time when she said it. This time it was in English. This is what she said. Mommy, I'm hungry. Mommy, I'm hungry. That was her devotion. Mommy, I'm hungry. He got in his car after his lecture that night, and he was driving back home to Georgia. When he got on the north side of Atlanta, he saw a billboard. You know what it said? All you can eat, $8.99. All you can eat. All you can eat, $8.99. Listen, friends, that's the country you and I are blessed enough to live in. Not by choice, just because this is where we were born. All you can eat, $8.99. Dr. Craddock said, but all I could think of was, Mommy, I'm hungry. Mommy, I'm hungry. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, you give them something to eat. Where is God sending you? Where is God sending you? Where is God sending this church? You know what I believe? I believe in what has transpired over the last couple of weeks. God is speaking to this church. That's what I believe. I believe it with all I've got. And God is sending this church somewhere. Where is God sending you? In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.